not really a quote, but by Srila Prabhupada being firm on us following the four regulative principles of freedom and chanting 16 rounds, he has set the stage for the next 10,000 years. Those that follow will become relief from the repetition of birth and death and return to the spiritual world. Hare Krishna.
And Mathura Prabhu? Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pshataya Vyatala Shumati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Yati Namaha Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Vichayana Namaste Sarasvani Raja Vashtata Shachayana. I was thinking this morning that I'm most unfortunate because I never got Mahaprasadam from Srila Prabhupada. But then I was thinking, I am so fortunate because you are actually all Prabhupada's Mahaprasadam. And he also has left thousands of lectures, films, his books, so much incredible things to dive into. And this is Prabhupada's Mahaprasadam. Something that's happened to me, I feel, is like a miracle. Is for some time as being really an aspiring devotee, I actually have thought I'm a devotee of Krishna, and Krishna smashed me and beat me up until I finally realized I'm not a devotee of Krishna. I'm a devotee of the devotees of the devotee of the devotee. And I even started to think, well, I'm a devotee of Prabhupada, but I'm actually the servant of all of you. And this is the only way I realize I can approach Srila Prabhupada. And approaching Srila Prabhupada through his vani, not thinking I needed to have his personal association or I need to have some personal association of some other great pure devotee on this earth. Of course, that's very nice, but actually we know, if anybody actually understands the position of Prabhupada, how Lord Krishna prophesied him coming, Lord Chaitanya prophesied, Bhaktivinoda Thakur prophesied him. It's through his vani. So I was thinking, you know, Prabhupada's appearance day and disappearance day is am I thinking, is Prabhupada appearing to me today? Am I going to actually take up his vani today? Or am I going to, you know, wait till I get old and I don't have many material desires, and then I can start coming to the morning program and chanting my rounds and following four regular principles? I realize it needs to start happening today if I want to please Prabhupada. And I see that this is something a lot of devotees in our society can miss. Is how can I really be connected to Srila Prabhupada right now? And it's through his vani. It's something I missed for many, many years. And I feel like he's really saved me. And something that's really helped me to understand this is Sureshwara Prabhu's his seminars. If anybody hasn't seen it, it's online. I recommend watching it. They're amazing. He really explains the position of Srila Prabhupada as the founder of Acharya and what a founder Acharya means. So in the last 3-4 months, me understanding this, it's been a very short time actually, but it's changed my life. I was before getting as much sleep as I could and enjoying in my big bed. And now I realize, you know, I hear Prabhupada say in his lectures, one should get up early if one wants to you know, advance in the spiritual life. So, you know, by Prabhupada's grace, I'm waking up at 3:30, 4 in the morning now. And if I can bring my kids for Guru Pooj, and, you know, and then when I'm at home, there we're putting Prabhupada on all day long, lectures, his videos, and I'm seeing how it's influencing myself and my children. So to all of young parents and everyone, this is, we give ourselves to Prabhupada, give ourselves to society and to serving his devotees. This is how we'll be saved. Hare Krishna.
Is Srila Prabhupada's magic. Dear Srila Prabhupada, once a magician came to Vrindavan to entertain. Objects appeared and disappeared. He even removed a penny from your ear. Everyone laughed and enjoyed the fun. At one point, however, you stopped and became grave. You questioned, can you make birth, death, and disease and old age disappear? The magician sadly replied he could not. You remind everyone that this was the real magic. It was, is, and always will be the real magic. A theologian met the devotees from time to time distributing your books. He became puzzled. He so admired the devotees' determination and enthusiasm, but upon questioning them, discovered they knew very little of the philosophy. This seemed incongruous, that is, until he met you. He could understand upon being in your magnanimous presence how this was possible. It was all part of your special magic. When you arrived in America, Srila Prabhupada, you stayed with the Agarwals. Sally Agarwal, when interviewed, reminisced about her time hosting you. She spoke of your expertise at cooking and how much the family relished it. She remembered your delight upon seeing her son take his first few steps. As she continued to speak about your visit, she stopped and exclaimed, I don't think I've enjoyed anything as much as this visit in my entire life. I was amazed when I heard this from a seemingly regular middle-class American housewife. More evidence of your magic. Umapati Maharaj related a story about a Bhagavad Gita you had received from an Indian businessman. You asked one of the devotees to read it. It was the usual babble of Krishna representing the unborn within. You asked your disciples what they thought, and to your dismay, one of them expressed his appreciation. Your face became redder and redder. The devotee continued to deny Krishna's eternal form of beauty, knowledge, and bliss. Picking up a book, you slammed it on the table, screaming, it's Krishna! 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 Krishna is a person. It's not symbolic. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for slamming our nirvishesha sunyavada contamination. May your pastimes always remain in my mind. Once the devotees picked some hibiscus flowers to decorate the altar. When you saw the flowers, you explained that the hibiscus was meant to be offered to Lord Shiva. The devotees asked, thinking they made an offense, what should we do with the blossoms? You took them and tucked a beautiful blossom behind each ear, giving your magnanimous smile. May this vision always remain in my mind. In the Nectar Devotion, it states that a moment's association is all that is required for liberation. You were and are so free with your moments. You made us fortunate, and your magic continues to spread in the form of Harinam, Prasadam distribution, and your books. With devotees freely giving your association, please make us instruments in your service that you can, your desires can be fulfilled. We will see chanting, dancing, and feasting in every town, village, and farm. And there was just one other pastime. I know Bhishma is here, because we were talking this morning about Srila. Are you going to tell the story about the deer? You sure? It was such an amazing story. Apparently some of the memories take, but I never heard it before. And he was talking about Srila Prabhupada. I guess they were walking, taking a walk through a forest or a park. And he said that all of a sudden there was these deer lining both sides of where Srila Prabhupada would walk. When Srila Prabhupada would get past them, they would run up again and get in the front. And it just kept happening where the deer would just keep running. So everyone noticed Prabhupada's magnanimity, you know, his beautiful animals, everyone. Just like Lord Chaitanya dancing in the forest, Srila Prabhupada also is able to give his mercy to everyone. Thank you.
Krishna. I think the way that we honor Srila Prabhupada most is through our service. We find something we love and we do it for him, and we continue to grow and grow and keep doing it. I came up here several years ago and made a promise to you, Srila Prabhupada, that I would continue to grow and do more, and I hope I've lived up to it. And here are some of our girls from Teacher Yatra, and we wanted to sing the song, "He's a Kind and Gentle Soul" by Mangalananda. And if you know the words, please join in.
Taka Gopal, okay. and then Mother Shama Priya. Shama Priya.
There you go. Many times I've had devotees from the younger generation ask me, what was it like being in Srila Prabhupada's presence? You know, how did it feel? And tell us about being in Prabhupada's presence. So actually, being in Prabhupada's presence means appreciating all the devotees' sacrifice and seva, and how the devotees are being inspired and enlightened by Prabhupada every day. Now, we feel Prabhupada's presence just by seeing all the projects and the ways that the devotees are serving Prabhupada because this is all emanating from his presence. To say that Srila Prabhupada is the preeminent guru of ISKCON, he's not that just because he gave us instructions that can be followed for generations to come. But actually, Prabhupada is still daily preaching in ways that we'll never understand. He is liberating people and inspiring people and preaching in ways that, in a myriad of ways that are beyond our comprehension. Usually at the end of just about so many lectures, if you hear Prabhupada's lectures, he'll always say something like, so if you simply follow the four regulative principles, chant 16 rounds, stay in the association of devotees, you will go back home, back to Godhead. I guarantee it. This is not a bluff, let's say. So in 1975 in Montreal, Prabhupada was only there for a couple hours, but he spoke to the devotees in the temple room, and there was one Indian body devotee who had been coming for a couple years and donating and chanting 16 rounds. And when Prabhupada was walking out, he stopped by this devotee, and he said to him, are you chanting 16 rounds? And the devotee was so shocked that Prabhupada would single him out that he was kind of flustered or at a loss for words, and he said, I'm trying. And Prabhupada took his cane and put it at the devotee's chest, and he pushed the devotee like a foot or two back against the wall, and he said, don't try, just do it. Sometimes people may ask, or they may think and not ask it, how can ISKCON be considered pure, even though a small percentage of its devotees may deviate from spiritual principles? So Prabhupada had answered this question once a young lady disciple of Prabhupada had asked why Krishna has external energy. She said that since Krishna is pure, there shouldn't be any impure or negative things emanating from him. So how is this? Because the external energy, Maya, binds the living entities to birth and death. So Prabhupada answered her with a brilliant question. He answered her question with a question. He said, suppose you are a very nice girl, but because your body passes some stool or urine, does it mean that you are bad? So everyone got the point that in the same way, ISKCON remains pure, even though some impure elements may pass through and out of it. But Prabhupada designed it that way. That is why his sincere followers strive to perpetuate it. Just to have a couple more stories here. That in Detroit in June of 1976, there was a darshan, and they were asking Srila Prabhupada about the mercy of the guru. And, the guru is so tolerant and so merciful, but Prabhupada warned the devotees. He said, I will forgive you once, I will forgive you twice. The third time, I take off my shoe. So one of the devotees said, but Prabhupada, I thought that the spiritual master was unlimitedly merciful. And Prabhupada replied, yes, but do not take advantage. One time in India, there was a big program, and when Prabhupada was leaving, one of the Indian guests called out to Prabhupada, and he said, save me, save me, please Maharaj, save me, you know, like that. And Prabhupada turned to him and said, yes, I can save you, but you must do the work. So we just pray that somehow we can continue to appreciate all the sacrifice and all the ways in which every member of ISKCON is being inspired by Srila Prabhupada, because that's just proof of his presence in our lives, in our hearts, and Hare Krishna, thank you very much.
The Samapriya, and then Haladal Prabhu, are you still here? Or? Yes.
Hare Krishna. First, it's been very wonderful to hear these offerings. Every time someone speaks, I think, oh, maybe I should say something about that. But one thing I wrote something that I just wanted to say, maybe a couple of stories, and one important point that I'm experiencing in my own preaching, trying to serve Srila Prabhupada. These books are not ordinary things. Prabhupada told us how his books are time bombs. And when someone gets one of these books, he is on his way back to Godhead. This is association with Srila Prabhupada. There are several people who I'm speaking to who are, one person's in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I didn't even know there was really a place, Oshkosh. Usually people say Oshkosh, some far away. And in California, and all over the world practically, people are reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and then we have some reference to preach from. We can always be with Srila Prabhupada by reading his books. And I was also concerned, what's going to happen when all of Srila Prabhupada's disciples leave? I mean, we are leaving. We're in the process of leaving. So Prabhupada has secured it. He's given us all of this knowledge and all of his books. These books are the law books for mankind. And they really are. This is the absolute truth. So I would really try to encourage everyone to take shelter. If you don't want to be cheated by anyone, because this is a land of cheaters, we are in the Kali Yuga where everyone's cheating everybody. It's spontaneous. People don't even mean it. There's knowledge, what so-called knowledge is being spread. Please take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's books, and then you will be steered on the right course. So, Nartaka was just mentioning how sorry, I forgot that one. But anyway, one day, Srila Prabhupada came to Los Angeles. He was recording in Golden Avatar Studios. And there was just one devotee who was driving him. I was living across the street with my daughter. And the devotee drove the car and stopped the car right in front of the Golden Avatar Studios. And this was on Culver Boulevard. And the street where the car went was very far down. The sidewalk was about almost a foot up. So when the devotee opened the car to let Srila Prabhupada out of the car, Srila Prabhupada couldn't pull himself up. He was having trouble getting out of the car. And I'm standing there, and I didn't know what to do. I was trying to send the vibes to the devotee, help Srila Prabhupada get out of the car. Nothing. He was just waiting for Srila Prabhupada to get out of the car. I was not breathing at that point. So finally, Srila Prabhupada pulled himself up, got out of the car, and went into Golden Avatar. I felt so guilty that I didn't tell Srila Prabhupada to get out of the car. So I waited there for 2 hours until he was finished recording. And then he came out, and I paid my obeisances, and I went up to him, and I said, Srila Prabhupada, please forgive me for not helping you get out of the car. Srila Prabhupada came up to hear, but he was like, this is the world. And he looks at the brahmachari. They were walking down the road to, I guess he had parked the car somewhere else. So Prabhupada looks at him and says, what did she say? And then the devotee said, nothing important, Srila Prabhupada. And I said, oh, Srila Prabhupada, this is very important. Please forgive me for not helping you get out of the car. You were struggling. I should have helped you get out of the car. So by then, I would think I was going to die any second from grief that I didn't help my spiritual master take advantage of that service. And again, the devotee said, it's nothing, Srila Prabhupada. And then I said, Srila Prabhupada, I was just like completely weak. Please forgive me. It is something. I'm so sorry. And then he looks with the most beautiful, forgiving and concern and compassionate face. It's okay. You know, I don't even know if he knew what I was talking about, but he was just so kind to me. Just, it's okay. And, you know, talk about being a fool in front of your spiritual master. That's actually my experience in front of Srila Prabhupada. When I got initiated, so you know, now we're saying that all the ladies can pay their dandabats in front of Srila Prabhupada. I paid my dandabats in Srila Prabhupada, in front of Srila Prabhupada when I came, that wasn't done. So I paid my dandabats. I got up. I had made a bouquet that I was going to give to Srila Prabhupada, and so I had it in my right hand and I was giving it to Prabhupada. Actually, before someone of Vyasagi was initiated with me, and he gave me a tape of Srila Prabhupada was when I was walking up, he was humming. So that was kind of nice to hear him hum. So anyway, I gave him the bouquet with my right hand, and I was reaching for my beads with my left hand. So the devotee next to me was saying, don't give Srila Prabhupada, don't take your beads with your left hand. You have to take your beads with your right hand. So I put the flowers in my left hand. I was taking the beads and giving the flowers. Don't give Srila Prabhupada the flowers with your right hand. With your left hand, give them with your right hand. So I'm going back and forth and Srila Prabhupada seeing what he's getting into. Again, actually this happened before this. This was the first time Srila Prabhupada displayed his ocean of mercy, and very compassionately said to me, it's okay, it's okay. And he said to the other devotee, it's okay, don't worry about it. So one should be a fool in front of the spiritual master, and Krishna has always given me that great opportunity. So now I wrote, okay, another spice on the fool thing. So in the beginning, we were wearing neck beads, and Prabhupada didn't like if we separated the tulsi beads with another like jewel or gem, supposed to be three kunti mala wrapped around three times, like that. So I made a necklace for Srila Prabhupada with silver, and I put some silver beads, and he said, what a wonderful thing, I'll make a necklace for Prabhupada with tulsi and silver. So I made it nice, and I sent it to him in Dallas. And then I heard about this, that Prabhupada didn't like that we had little things separating the tulsi. And I was grief-stricken again. And but this actually was a necklace that he could have worn. So I was guilty for like years thinking that I destroyed my relationship with my guru because I did something he didn't like. So after Chaitanya Charitamrita, the marathon, and the I think it was the ninth Madhyanayam, they have beautiful pictures of Srila Prabhupada in the front of the book. There's always a picture of Srila Prabhupada. So I saw this wonderful picture of Srila Prabhupada sitting on the Vyasasan in Dallas, and I looked, and then I got a magnifying glass, and I said, what? What is that? And he was wearing a necklace. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. It took me 25 years, now I have a big poster in my house. So I'm going to be in something that I wrote for Prabhupada. From the sitting place in your bhajan kutir at Radha Damodar Temple in Sri Vrindavan Dham, you gaze with deep contemplation at the samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami. My dear Srila Prabhupada, are you meditating upon the Herculean task set upon you by your spiritual master? Your mission is to conquer the Western world by establishing Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement for the benefit of humanity at large. No ordinary person could take up this mission with such hope, determination, and confidence. What to speak of changing the hearts of thousands of lost conditioned souls and revealing to them the purpose of their precious human lives. In this material world, there is danger at every step, and now the symptoms of Kali Yuga run rampant. There is no safe place, and the world is overwhelmed with distress and a corrupt population. As long as I remain in your presence, Srila Prabhupada, keeping you fixed within my heart, there can be no danger for me. I am completely protected. Devotional service is your way of life, and it creates a no-danger zone around you. Whomever fixes his mind and heart upon you stays safe within that zone. My dear Srila Prabhupada, though it seems you left us alone many years ago, when we were so young, just learning to walk the path of bhakti, you never really left us at all. But it was up to us to see how you have always been close by. Your books are the basis of the Hare Krishna movement. The lives of those who worship you by hearing your sublime purports remain in direct contact with you. How then can there be any fear? Your words are the transcendental medium through which Krishna reveals himself to us. What then is the question of being alone or fearful when we can find safe haven at all times in your presence and divine instructions? Srila Prabhupada, you said that your spiritual master was always with you. I pray that I can always keep you with me, ever attentive to your voice, directing me on the path to Krishna's lotus feet. But Maya is strong, and she knows exactly how to distract even a sincere and qualified soul from the lofty goal you have laid before us. What are my chances of defeating her arsenal without your help? Though sometimes there appear to be pinpricks of light shining through the dark chasm of my coal-like heart, in your presence there is no darkness nor ignorance. For darkness cannot stand in the presence of such illumination from the shining torchlight of knowledge. My dear Srila Prabhupada, I humbly beg you to allow me to acknowledge your presence within my heart and worship you by adherence to your divine instructions. As long as I do this, I know I will never be separated from you. Hare Krishna.
Haladhar Prabhu and then Shankar Prabhu. Dhanavat Pranam. Please accept my most respectful obeisances. Srila Prabhupada is always right. Those $5,000 chandeliers, they're no longer there. They were too hard to maintain because of the smoke from the sacrifices would clog or cloud the crystals. So
We were always going up there. Each piece, there were like 1,000 pieces on each one. There were like 6. So, of course, Srila Prabhupada is right. I also have a car story I can tell. I spent my early days, and most of my days actually, in Potomac, Maryland. We used to call it New Hastinapur. And when the Bhaktivedanta Institute was forming, I was invited to join, since I was an economist teaching at the university and working in the government. And one of the perks of that was that when Srila Prabhupada went to Baltimore to give a lecture, I was asked to be the lead car and drive all the members of the institute to that lecture. So we were the pace car. And I recalled at the time that there were problems with the devotees driving rather recklessly and speeding at high speeds, and there were some accidents and even some deaths, and Srila Prabhupada had been notified, and he made it known that he didn't want devotees to be driving like this. So the drive to the lecture went very smoothly. Then on the way back, we were driving and going slightly below the speed limit, and I noticed that the person in charge of the temple and the GBC kept motioning, go, 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 go. And, but I wouldn't do it. I just maintained the speed that I felt Srila Prabhupada wanted us to go at. So when we arrived back at the mandir, at the temple, we all got out of our vehicles and were offering obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. And when I looked up, he was there, giving me this most wonderful, I'm sure all of you have association with his Vapu, have seen this most wonderful smile that he can give you, and he said, thank you very much. So I knew that I had done the right thing. Even though I was disobeying one superior, I was obeying the ultimate superior, and I think that's a message we all need to imbibe, that just do what Prabhupada asks and you won't be wrong and you can't go wrong. Another point concerning Vapu and Vani. Of course, those of us who had the great fortune to have the personal darshan association of Srila Prabhupada are most fortunate and blessed and received his mercy in that way. But we needed that. We were the earliest pioneers. How could we survive the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and the austerities that were asked of us without that kind of association? I think for most of us, it wouldn't have been possible. We needed to know that, even if we didn't see Srila Prabhupada every day, we needed to know that, oh, this was happening, and he was coming here, and this preaching was going on, this new project was opening up, and all these things were so important to us to know that Srila Prabhupada was there as our leader, our guide, our beloved guru. So, as a message to the new generation, I take my hats off to you, because you are able to survive with his vani. You are able to survive without that Vapu. Therefore, in many ways, you can be considered stronger because you are doing it without that Vapu. And Srila Prabhupada even mentioned that as the generations go forward, there will be more progress and better things happening.
Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. We offer our most humble, respectful obeisances unto you, Srila Prabhupada, our divine spiritual master, who has opened our eyes that were blinded by the darkness of ignorance with the torchlight of knowledge. Only by your mercy and the blessings of our Brahma Bhagavad Gaudiya Sampradaya are we able to offer our heartfelt Dandavat Pranams to your lotus feet. O greatest Vaishnava, most exalted servant of Srila Prabhupada, whose namesake you very humbly adopted in his honor. You are the most merciful fruit on the tree of Mahavadanyaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya, having cried out with loving compassion for the chance to shower his Gauravani on us, the most fallen souls of Kali Yuga. O empowered servant of Sri Vishabhanu Nandini Radhe, your fame for transforming the servants of illusion into disciples of praying is spread all over the three worlds. How can we ever do justice to your glories? Our only hope for showing gratitude is to follow in your footsteps by broadcasting your love and knowledge for which everyone is always anxious. Just as nothing could stop you from pleasing your spiritual masters, Diksha Jagat Guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Prabhupada, Shiksha Guru, Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Goswami Maharaj, and Sannyas Guru, Srila Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Goswami Maharaj, please empower us to fulfill your manodishtam, your innermost desires. This very fallen, lowly, aspiring servant of Srila Bhaktivedanta Goswami Prabhupada prays, may I always swim in the love of Sri Sri Guru Nittai Sachinanda Gaur Hari, Sri Sri Vishabhanu Nandini Radhe and Brajendra Nandan Krishna, Sri Sri Radha Damodar, Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan, Sri Sri Radha Govindaji, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, Sri Sri Radhe Shyam, and Sri Sri Krishna Balaram. Without your mercy, what would we know about them? And without sincerely embracing your mercy, our wheel of misfortune is ready to spin. Please guide us always through thick and thin. Srila Prabhupada, O greatest servant of the topmost Rupanuga Guru Varga, please accept our eternal gratitude for bringing purpose and meaning to our lives, as well as the means by which we can cross over this ocean of material suffering. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And there are so many other means that you have given us, from deity worship, from preparing and offering and eating prasad, from reading your books, distributing your books, associating together, and so many things. And there was another very important aspect brought out by our Param Guru, Srila Prabhupada, where during an Ishtagosti, he was asked, what is the most important service in bhakti? There are so many important services in a temple environment. There are pujaris, there are book distributors, there are cooks, there are those that clean, there are those that preach. There are so many services. What is topmost? Excuse me. So Srila Prabhupada replied, knowing well what they were really asking for. Srila Prabhupada said, the most advanced of you is the one that has developed the most love and affection for all the devotees of Sri Sri Gaur Nittai. So may we imbibe that lesson and always remember to be grateful for the love that Srila Prabhupada has shown all of us. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna. So Shankar Prabhu, and then is Mother Akuti here, or is she?
Yeah, you're path. Like they're always relishful and they're always full of nectar and they're always instructable. Okay, the first thing is one time in 1974, Mother Palika was Prabhupada's cook and she used to go to Bulishwar, which is a place in Bombay where they buy fruits. So one day she came up to me and said she was feeling really sick and she couldn't really go. And she wanted to, and she asked me if I could go. I said, sure. So I got in a taxi cab with a lot of Lakshmi and I went to Bulishwar to buy fruits for Sri Prabhupada. And I was buying chikus and guavas and I was buying all these fruits. And then I seen this vendor who had this big cart full of oranges. Beautiful oranges. They were really nice and orange. So I had him cut it and I tasted it and it was really good. And I figured, well, Sri Prabhupada's going to like these oranges. So I bought a whole bunch of, I bought a whole big bag full of oranges. So I guess it was about 4 days later, 5 days later, I went on a lot of morning walks. I don't remember any of them. Anyways, we were on the morning walk, and I went in this morning walk in particular. And we were getting towards the end of the walk. We were walking in Juhu Beach, and there was this house on top of a hill that had these big windows, and the sun was reflecting off the windows. So then Sri Prabhupada started talking about the perverted reflection of the material world. And then out of the blue, he said, who has bought me these oranges? So me, being a puffed up brahmachari, was running up to Sri Prabhupada. Sri Prabhupada, I bought the oranges. And Sri Prabhupada said, those oranges are 10th class, just like you. Then he said the reason the oranges were 10th class is because they pick them in the season and they put them in refrigerators and they bring them up months later and so on. Okay, this one was another really heavy chest. This is the worst chastising I ever got from Sri Prabhupada. It was also in 1974 in Bombay. They have this water pump. When you turn it on, it makes a lot of noise. It made a lot of noise. So they came up to me and said that they wanted me to be in charge of turning on the water pump and fill up all the tanks. On top of all the buildings, there were these big tanks full of water that gave everybody showers and everything. So before Mungo Arctic, I went on top of all the roofs. I checked all the water tanks. They were all full of water from me being puffed up. I figured, well, you know, this water pump makes a lot of noise, you know, maybe I should turn it on after Mangalarti. That way it won't disturb Sri Prabhupada during Mangalarti and he can hear the morning program. So I went around and I started gathering my flowers. I always gave him flowers because I was a flower boy. And then I guess after some time they Paramahansa Swami, the Prabhupada's secretary, come running up to me and said, Shankardas, are you in charge of turning on the water? I said, yes. He said, well, Srila Prabhupada just went to pass and there's no water for him to wipe himself and he's very upset and wants to talk to you right now. So I was very scared. So I slid it up the stairs to the top floor and I went into his room and he was sitting there meditating and doing Gayatri. It was a big room with all these pillows and cushions, so I offered my obeisances and then I just sat there and looked at him. Then he opened his eyes and he said, yes. And I said, yes, Sri Papa, I made such a mistake. He said, yes, everything you do is a mistake. Get rid of me alone. Then I was completely bewildered, right? Stood back and wow. And he opened his eyes and said, you're still here, get rid of me alone. So I had this big bouquet of flowers. So I said, I gave it to Giri Raj. Giri Raj, you give Prabhupada the flowers. I'm too freaked out. And I tell him the boys, they're telling me to kill myself. And so I went on top of the roof and I was freaking out, you know, and they went in the morning walk. And they came back from the morning walk and everything. And then I went up to Giri Raj and said, Giri Raj, did you give Prabhupada the flowers? He said, yes, I gave Sri Prabhupada the flowers. And he said, where's my flower boy? But I knew that if I was there, And I gave him the flower that he would have really gotten in front of everybody. So anyway, that was that. This is for those who are taking care of Tulsi. In front of Bombay, they had this fence. This fence that was in a half moon shape, and inside there were a whole bunch of Tulsi plants, which are really big. So one day in the morning walk, I gave Prabhupada flowers, and he said, "Why are the Tulsis dying?" I said, "I'll do some research." So I dug around the Tulsi plants, and I found that the ants and the termites are eating the roots. So the next morning, on the morning walk, I gave Prabhupada flowers, and I said, "Sri Prabhupada, the ants and the termites are eating the roots of the Tulsi plants." He said, "You sprinkle one part lime, one part sulfur, to 10 parts water, and you sprinkle that all around Tulsi, and the ants will go away." So he went on his world tour, and I did that. I got the materials, and I made the bird, and I put it all around the Tulsis, but unfortunately, all the Tulsis died. All of them. So I ripped up all the Tulsi plants, tore down the fence, and it was nothing there but dirt. So Pierre Prabhupada came back from his world tour, and he was sitting on the Vyasas, and I remember they were doing the ghee lamp. So I got out of the kitchen, and I walked up and gave him his flowers. I gave him his flowers, and he said, "Where are the Tulsis?" And I said, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, I tried to save them, but they all died, and I just hit the deck, and I didn't get chastised in the middle of Guru Puj. I slid out of the temple. I literally slid out of the temple, went back into the kitchen." So the next day on the morning walk, I walked up to Srila Prabhupada, and I gave him his flowers. And in the garden, I was doing the gardening there, I had this little patch of Tulsi plants. There was about 34 of them, and they were just growing in the manure, but they were really good and growing really good. So Srila Prabhupada stopped everybody. I gave him a flower, and he said, "How are these Tulsis doing?" I said, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, there's all these spider mites and aphids and bugs eating her. How do I get rid of them?" He says, You leave the insects alone. Who are you to kill them? Let them eat as much as they want." And he walked on. And one more. He says, "For those who are making flower garlands and offering garlands to your spiritual master and putting garlands and flowers all over Krishna." It was in a room conversation in 1976. It was in the evening, and I walked in. There was about maybe 40 or 50 people in there, devotees, including guests. And so I never asked Prabhupada very many questions, so I asked him, I said, "Sri Prabhupada, can I ask you a question?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Sri Prabhupada, what is the benefit of all the flowers that we are offering to Krishna?" And Sri Prabhupada said, "Every flower you offer to your spiritual master or to Krishna, the plant the flower came from becomes a human being in his next life." And my preaching began. All glory to Sri Prabhupada.
So Mother Akuti and then Abhimanyu.
Minutes last night real late and just put down a couple of things. Sparking the Hare Krishna explosion at age 70, beyond belief, working harder than all of us with barely any relief. Setting spiritual standards to a crazed bunch of kids, giving up sex and drugs had they flipped their lids. The fact is that we found the absolute in all you said and the most far out food that we'd ever been fed. So we took to the streets to tell everyone the news. You can go back to home, back to Godhead if you choose. Chant, dance, and feast, surrender all you've got. Glorify and serve Sri Krishna, the one we've all forgot. We did things we never would have done before. Our love for you, Srila Prabhupada, enthused us to do more and more. Happy we are to be a part of your transcendental mission. To see the holy name in every town, it has now arisen. So we are still sold out to you and still much in debt. To please you fully this lifetime, this goal must be met. We try to remember your instructions a tiny bit through the day. And of course, everything is in my books. That is what you say. I thank you for the opportunity, one very rare indeed, to cultivate in our Kali Yuga hearts the pure bhakti seed.
Yeah.